وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد، فهذا أيها الإخوة درس آخر من دروسنا في القواعد الفقهية. وهذه القواعد في أصلها من تأليف الشيخ العلامة عبد الرحمن ابن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى. قاعدة أخرى من القواعد الفقهية المعتبرة التي تقوم عليها شريعتنا المطهرة قولهم: الوسائل لها حكم المقاصد، فما لا يتم الواجب إلا به فهو واجب، وما لا يتم المسنون إلا به فهو مسنون.
بسم الله بسم الله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. سيدي الشيخ علي حسن started today concerning that with Khutbatul Hajjah, that includes the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking forgiveness and testifying to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also testifying that Muhammad is the messenger and the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after ending with Khutbatul Hajjah, the Shaykh began by saying, oh brothers, concerning this lesson, another lesson again that we'll be discussing concerning these Qawaid al-Fiqhiyya, and this is concerning the one that we'll be discussing is the asl of the book, the root of this book. It is the one that was written by Shaykh Abdul Rahman As-Sa'di rahimahullah regarding these principles, and another of these Qawaid that will be discussed. And these are the qawaid that is these are the qawaid that are a part of the religion, and the religion is established upon these, and these are qawaid which are valid. And the one that we discussed today concerning the qawaid is ma yatim al wajib, concerning al wasa means or they said means they take the ruling of its intent or its purpose. These means they carry the ruling of their purpose or something to that meaning. And also concern that nothing whatever is required to complete an act, to complete a wajib, then it also becomes wajib. So whatever is required to fulfill a wajib, it also becomes wajib. And also something, whatever is required to make something a sunnah encouraged, then also it becomes encouraged.
فالوسائل معناها هي الطرق التي يتوصل بها إلى أمور أخرى، والمقاصد هي الأهداف التي يراد من الوسائل أو بالوسائل الوصول إليها. فالوسيلة كما نقول مثلا السند في الحديث هو الوسيلة للوصول إلى المتن، وكما نقول الصلاة في المساجد واجبة. هل نستطيع أن نصلي في المساجد ونحن جالسون في بيوتنا؟ لا نستطيع، لابد من وسيلة، وهذه الوسيلة هي المشي والسعي إلى المسجد.
And Shaykh mentioned by explaining concerning what is meant by wasila or wasail, and as for these wasila, what is meant by this is these are these ways that is taken to reach some other point. So it's the means that is used to attain to arrive at a certain point. And maqasid, that's what is meant by this. This is the objective. This is the objective of the thing that is trying to be the thing that is being attained. And what we mean by this, for example, is what we mean by this by saying these means that are taken. It's an example. As an example, is that concern that you find that the sened, the chain of narrators, that there are means for us to arrive at the matan, to arrive at the text of the hadith. So the chain, it is a way of arriving at the matan. And also again as an example, the Shaykh mentioned concerning salat in the masjid is something which is wajib, to pray in the praying in the masjid is something which is wajib. But if a person was to so should a person just pray in it out, it requires for a person to pray in a masjid that he has to walk to get to the masjid to fulfill the act of salat.
إذا أردنا تحقيق الحكم الشرعي الذي طلبه الله تعالى منا لأن نقصده ونطبقه من الصلاة كما قال تعالى وأقيموا الصلاة، فلا بد من القيام بوسيلة للقيام إلى هذه الصلاة، لأن الصلاة الواجبة تجمع صفتين: الصفة الأولى الجماعة، والصفة الثانية المسجد. فإذا سعينا إلى المسجد، سواء كان هذا السعي مشيا أو ركوبا أو غير ذلك، فإنه سعي واجب، لأن به يتحقق واجب الصلاة. فالوسائل لها أحكام المقاصد. السعي إلى الجماعة الواجبة يكون واجبا. الآن مجلس العلم، مجلس العلم مستحب، السعي إلى مجلس العلم مستحب كما أن مجلس العلم مستحب. إذن الوسائل تأخذ أحكام المقاصد، فما كان واجبا حكمه فالوسيلة إليه واجبة، وما كان مسنونا ومستحبا حكمه فالوسيلة إليه مستحبة.
And Sheikh Al went on by saying that if we wish to attain or to fulfill certain ruling of the Islamic law, if we wish to fulfill and to carry out certain aspect of the Islamic law, then we need to that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have enjoined upon us, so these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have required upon us to fulfill concerning things of the Sharia, for us to carry out them, then we have to take certain steps. For example, concerning Salat, to establish that Allah mentioned وَاقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, that we should establish the Salat. But for one to go about carrying out to fulfill this salat, then one needs to establish certain means to attain this. Certain means and measures have to be put in place for one to attain this. So to establish the salat, then a person have two descriptions. There are two descriptive of this. One concerning it should be carried out in a jama'ah, in the form of a group. And also second, that also it be fulfilled by way of inside a masjid. So for a person to carry out this salat in the masjid, in a person he needs to go towards this place of the masjid. So for a person to go towards the masjid, a person can go there by way of walking, and this is a way of the means being taken, the means that is being used to carry out that, to attain that act. So this means, this wasail of going towards, proceeding towards the masjid, it now becomes wajib, as it is the way to fulfill that act which is compulsory, which is fulfilling the salat. Just to mention also, for example, concerning the person attending a gathering of knowledge, that this is something which is mustahab. It is mustahab. So the means to attain this mustahab also it becomes mustahab. So the means that is used to, that is taken to fulfill that act which is mustahab, it also becomes mustahab. So therefore, if the act itself is wajib, and the means that is used to carry it out, they would also take the ruling of being wajib. Likewise, if that act itself, it is something which is mustahab, then the means that are used to attain this mustahab, also it becomes mustahab. Understood? ماشي.
هنالك مسألة أو مسائل تتفرع على هذه القاعدة الفقهية. منها أنه إذا سقط حكم الأمر الذي هو المقصود أو المقصد، فإنه يسقط حكم الوسيلة. إذا سقط حكم المقصد يسقط حكم الوسيلة. بمعنى نحن قلنا الوسائل لها حكم المقاصد، إذا كان المقصد واجبا فالوسيلة واجبة، إذا كان المقصد مستحبا فالوسيلة مستحبة، إذا كان المقصد غير موجود فهل الوسيلة موجودة؟ إذا سقط حكم المقصد يسقط حكم الوسيلة. نضرب على ذلك مثلا: الذي لا يجب عليه الحج، هل يجب عليه الذهاب إلى مكة؟ لا يجب عليه الذهاب إلى مكة. لماذا؟ لأن الحج أصلا ليس واجبا عليه، فإذا وجب عليه الحج وجب عليه الوسيلة للحج، وهي السفر إلى مكة.
then the Shaykh mentioned concerning also of this particular qaida, that there's also some issues, some masahil or masala, that is also attached to this. And of these issues that are attached to this is that the Shaykh mentioned that if the, in effect of hukum, if the hukum is removed, if the hukum is removed, if the hukum is removed in the purpose of that act, then the wasila is also removed. If the hukum is removed, then in, if the hukum is removed and the purpose of the intent is removed, then the wasila, the means to fulfill this act, to carry out this act, also it is removed. And the Shaykh gave some example of this by saying that, for example, so he repeated or he tried to mention it several times, that if, for example, as we said before, that if the intent of something, it is wajib, the hukum of something is wajib, then the means to carry out that act also becomes wajib. Likewise, if something is mustahab, the hukum is mustahab, the means to carry out that also takes the hukum that is attached to it. So likewise, if something is removed, then the means to attain this also, it is removed. And the Shaykh also, let me give an example. An example of this, to make it clear, is that, for example, that if it is not compulsory upon someone to fulfill Hajj, if it is not compulsory upon someone to carry out Hajj, then going to Mecca, then it is not also wajib. Understood? So if going to perform Hajj, it is not wajib, then the person to make this journey to Mecca, it is not wajib. Right? So likewise, if the person is wajib upon the person to carry out Hajj, then it becomes wajib on him to make this journey to Mecca.
مسألة أخرى وهي أن الوسيلة إلى المحرم أيضا محرمة. إنسان ذهب ومشى إلى إنسان آخر حتى إذا جلس عنده صار يغتاب وينم، أو ذهب إلى محل بيع الخمور ليشرب الخمر، مقصده ماذا؟ شرب الخمر والغيبة والنميمة، هذه محرمات. الوسيلة والسعي إلى هذه المحرمات أيضا محرمة تأخذ حكمها. نعم.
Then Shaykh Hafizullah, he mentioned a second example, and his example, and he said also concerning a second example or another masala, another matter that is attached to this, that is a part of this, is the Shaykh mentioned that the wasila, these means, a means to a haram, also it becomes haram. Then he explained by saying that so the means that a person will take to attain a haram, then also it becomes haram, this means. And Shaykh mentioned, for example, that and a person intends to go and to visit another person, but the intent behind this, of this visit another person, is to buy someone and to attack a person. So the person, he wished to go to be with another person, but the purpose, the intent, is to do something which is haram, which is to bite another person. He said, now this means of going to this person also becomes haram, as the objective is to do something which is haram. And likewise, another example Shaykh mentioned is that if a person who wished to go to a shop, to a place, where this place it sells alcohol, he wished to go to a place that sells alcohol, and the intent of the person, the objective of the person, is to drink alcohol. So the means that he would use to go to that place, it also becomes haram, as the purpose is haram. So the means to attain something which is haram becomes haram. The means to attain something which is haram also becomes haram.
لكن أحيانا هنالك مسائل قد يكون فيها نوع من الاشتباه. فمثلا لو أن أحدا من المزارعين يزرع العنب، فجاءه آخر قال له لا يجوز أن تزرع العنب لأنه يتخذ منه الخمر، هل هذا كلام مقبول؟ هذا كلام غير مقبول. لماذا؟ لأن أصل زراعة العنب مباحة، حلال، لكن فعل اتخاذ الخمر منه هو المحرم، فحينئذ يكون المقصد مباحا وتكون بعض الوسائل إلى هذا المقصد هي المحرمة. الآن مما يتفرع على هذا السؤال، لو أن هذا المزارع الذي يبيع الذي يزرع العنب جاءه تاجر خمور وقال له أريد أن أشتري منك العنب، هل يجوز له أن يبيعه؟ لا يجوز. لماذا؟ لأنه يغلب على ظنه أنه سيتخذه خمرا، وبالتالي الوسيلة إلى المحرم محرم مثل ذلك.
The Sheikh also mentioned that you might find also regarding this qaida that also in certain cases concerned it also some other masahil that needs to be looked at, and they have somewhat of this slight ishtiba, that slight degree of doubt, or if I want to use a resemblance, doubt, ishtiba, similarities, or they have some sort of similarities, resemblance. And it's a, for example, that a person who is like a farmer, that he grows grape. So this farmer, he's growing grapes, but then someone now comes to this farmer who's growing a grape, and he says this grape that you are growing can be used to produce, to make khamar, alcohol. So the Sheikh mentioned, it becomes haram. So the Sheikh said, as for this, that is not the case. Right? The reason being because the asl, the root, the origins of growing per se grape, it is something which is mubah, it is something which is permissible. Right? So it is something which is permissible. So this is not the case. But if a person knows that it will be used for that purpose, then he changes the ruling. So he said if the asl of it and intent, that if the person intends just to grow it, then it is something which is mubah. But in certain cases, we find that if the person knows that it may be used eventually, it may be used to produce something which is haram, then it becomes haram in this case. For example, he says, a person said, come to me and said, okay, you are a farmer of grapes, I wish to buy these grapes from you to make khamar. So you are a person, you are a farmer growing grapes, but this buyer comes to me and said, I'm going to buy this from you and I intend to use this to make khamar. They said, in this case, because the person now knows that most likely it will be used for this purpose, then it becomes haram. As so the hukum, it takes the means, it will fall in line with the hukum, depending on what it is, how it is being used.
أيضا من المسائل المهمة في باب الوسائل لها حكم المقاصد ما يسمى بقاعدة سد الذرائع. سد الذرائع معناها إغلاق الأسباب التي قد توقع بالحرام، لأن الوقوع في الحرام حرام، والسبيل إلى هذا الحرام حرام. فإذا أغلقنا الذريعة إلى الحرام نكون قد منعنا الحرام. يعني الآن وجود الخمارات في الطرقات، لو أغلقنا هذه الخمارات نستطيع أن نمنع كثيرا من الناس من شرب الخمر، لو أغلقنا مصانع الخمور نستطيع أن نمنع أكثر الناس من شرب الخمور. إذن الشرع الحكيم أغلق البنافذ والأبواب التي تكون ذرائع ووسائل للحرام حتى يكون ذلك كله إعانة على البر والتقوى وامتناعا من الإثم والعدوان.
Then the Sheikh mentioned concerning of the masahil of the matters or the issues that are of importance that is attached to this qaida, which is the qaida of that means they carry the ruling of its intent and purpose. Is that the is a qaida principle concerning that the dhara concerning closing the doors of evil, and the Sheikh he mentioned concerning this is that is to try to put a barrier to means that can cause a person to fall into something which is haram. So closing the doors that enemies that can cause someone to fall into those things which is haram. And this is so Islam, the Sharia of Islam, it takes into consideration this matter. Where those means that can lead to haram, then those things should be blocked. So the Sheikh said, mentioned example concerning the what we call pubs over here, the place of pubs that are in the street, that if those places were to be closed, then it will block the people from drinking of alcohol. Also, that you know, if also that if we were also Islamic law, it closes or forbids concerning these factories of producing alcohol, so as to stop the people from drinking alcohol. So these things are put in place so as to block the people from falling into those things which is haram, such as drinking of alcohol, as mentioned. So the doors, Islam, it closes the door from means that can allow someone to fall into those things which is haram. And this is by trying to preserve concerning encouraging those things which is of benefit and those things which is of righteousness.
ومن المثال أو من الأمثلة على ما ذكرت آية في كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى يقول رب العالمين إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه. بعض الناس وللأسف قالوا هذه الآية ليس فيها نص قاطع على تحريم شرب الخمر، ونحن نقول بل هي نص قاطع على تحريم شرب الخمر وما هو أقل من شرب الخمر، لأن اجتناب الشيء يشمل أمورا عدة، بينما إذا قلنا اجتنب الشرب لا يشمل إلا الشرب. فالحامل حينئذ إذا حمل الخمر أحد يكون جائزا أن يحمله، إذا باعه أحد يكون جائزا أن يبيعه، إذا اشتراه أحد يكون جائزا أن يشتريه. لكن لما قال الله فاجتنبوه جاء الأمر بالاجتناب منعا للبيع والشراء والشراء والحمل والاعتصار. لذلك قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لعن الله في الخمرة عشرا، هذه العشر وقد يزيد عليها غيرها هي جميعا داخلة تحت قوله تعالى فاجتنبوه. إذن لماذا قال الله تعالى فاجتنبوه؟ سدا للذريعة التي قد توصل صاحبها إلى شرب الخمر الذي هو محرم بنصوص كثيرة من الكتاب والسنة، منها قول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ما أسكر كثيره فقليله حرام، كل مسكر خمر وكل خمر حرام.
Then Sheikh mentioned that there's many examples that can be mentioned of these examples that we just mentioned. We also mentioned concerning an ayah in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding this, where the English rendering mentioned in the khamr that indeed khamr al khari Abu Khadir ayah that indeed that khamr well and khamr which is maruf type khamr maruf alcohol and also gambling and sab which is throwing off PR what do you call it in English? Yeah. Hey? Throwing off arrows well azlam
الأزلام هي نوع من أنواع القمار.
نوع of gambling, another form of gambling. So all these form of gambling. That.
الأزلام هي التي كان فيها التشاؤم. تشاؤم وتطير وتفاؤل.
This is the Islam comes in a form of like
the.
In Arab culture, that they would like have birds would like you know go and depending on which direction they go, then a person would he would like you know bet on this or rely upon this. That mentioned that all of these things that one should avoid. That all of these things one should avoid. The Sheikh mentioned concerning this that you find unfortunately that you find that some of the people that they say some of the people they said regarding this ayah it is not a clear evidence in not a clear text regarding the forbiddance the prohibition of drinking of alcohol. So some people said this is not found in this ayah. The Sheikh said as for this is not clear, it is clear, it is absolutely clear, clearly mentioned in this ayah that these things are all forbidden. And that's when it is mentioned concerning that one should avoid all of these things. It includes everything that's attached to it, all of these things. So it is more general. So this would include, so when Allah mentioned that, one should avoid these. It includes concerning the person who buys, the person who sells, the person who carries all these things. So it carries a more general and more broader understanding. So the Shaykh also mentioned concerning the Prophet said, also to show emphasize this point, that this is clear cut haram. He mentioned concerning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala English rendering the hadith with its meaning, that Allah, the Prophet mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse 10 regarding khamr, and then he starts to list all those people whom are cursed, that is attached to khamr. So all these people, that all of these are included in concerning those people who should avoid this thing. So everyone that is mentioned, they are of those who should avoid this act of their involvement with khamr. Also it is mentioned by Rasulullah mentioned, but also Rasulullah said that one should avoid this, then this carries a more it carries to mean that all the means should be blocked that would lead to this act, that everything that is that would lead to this act, then that that door should be closed. Also the Prophet mentioned the hadith where he stated the hadith a what caused drunkenness in small quantity, then it is haram. And everything that is alcoholic, then it is also haram.
بقي في هذه القاعدة الفقهية أن نشير إلى مسألة وهي الأخيرة في هذا الباب. أيهما أعظم أجرا وأعلى رتبة، المقاصد أم الوسائل؟ لا شك ولا ريب المقاصد، لأن الإنسان قد يكون عنده قصد جيد لكن يمتنع بسبب القصور في الوسيلة. مثلا الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول إن العبد إذا مرض أو سافر كتب له مثل ما كان يعمل وهو صحيح مقيم، مع أنه في السفر يصلي بدلا من الأربع ركعات ركعتين، وهو في الحضر قد يمتنع عن الصلاة في المسجد لأنه مريض، لكن تخلف هذه الوسائل مع وجود نيته ورغبته في المقاصد لا يمنعه من أن ينال الأجر كاملا. إذن المقاصد الشرعية أعظم أجرا وأعلى رتبة من وسائلها، لأن الوسائل قد يقصر بعض أصحابها لبعض الأعذار، فإذا كان التقصير في هذه الوسائل دون عذر فيكون الحكم بحسب حكم أو بحسب التخلف عن حكم المقصد، فالتخلف عن المقصد الواجب يكون حراما، والتخلف عن المقصد المستحب يكون مكروها، والله تعالى أعلم.
طيب so you get left at the end. See? Then Shaykh mentioned concerning as for the thing that remained with this of this qaida fiqhiya, of the thing that is that that remained with these qaida fiqhiya, concerning the Shaykh discussed concerning which of them is of a more higher ranking or higher place, concerning the maqasid, the purpose and the intent, or the wasila. So which of them stand at a more higher place and have a higher regards? Then the answer, Shaykh said, without doubt, the answer that is of a more higher standing and higher place is concerning the maqasid, the things concerning the purpose, and the purpose that of a higher standing. And the Shaykh mentioned to prove of this point is the hadith of the Prophet said that indeed a servant that when he's ill or when he has gone upon or when he has traveled, then his reward is that it will be written for him what he would establish under normal circumstances. Oh, with that meaning, so when a person is ill or is in travel, he will receive the reward, the normal reward that he would normally receive. So the Shaykh mentioned that you might find a person in certain circumstances due to suffer, for example, journey, travel, that concerning salat, instead of praying four, instead he will pray two. Nam, but the person will get the reward as in the normal procedure. But just I also concern a person who may be ill, that a person may not pray in the normal way, but a person still will receive, due to the person receive the normal reward, due to one's intent. So due to the person's intent, even though the things are somewhat changed, but he'll receive the reward on the normal cases. So it does not say that because of the intent, somewhat may not block the person from receiving the full reward. So maqasid, that it have a position higher, and that due to the person's intent, sometimes he may receive the full reward that is attached. So the hukum, sometimes the intent might change, but the ruling or the reward may be the same. Anything else? So due to sometimes I find that things may change due to different circumstances. So the person sometimes might have things might change to a different standard due to circumstances. So this will go back to the person's intent. I tell you.
قاعدة أخرى وهي قاعدة المشقة تجلب التيسير. المشقة تجلب التيسير. المشقة كل شيء يوجد فيه صعوبة وعسر تجلب أي تكون سببا للتيسير أي تسهيل الأمور. المشقة الأمور الصعبة العسيرة تستوجب وتستدعي التسهيل وتيسير الأمور. هذا هو لفظ القاعدة وشرحها، وسنذكر بعد الترجمة أدلتها وشيئا من ذلك.
Then Sheikh regarding the other principle that we'll be discussing, the other another piece principle that we'll be discussing, is the principle concerning the mashaka tajlib at-taysir. That of this principle is that things that are difficult, mashaka, the Sheikh mentioned that what is meant by something is that mashaka means something which is difficult. So something which is difficult, and the person finds difficulty in that act. That so mashaka is those things that we find difficulty, and it is weighty, and that it will bring about that which is more easier. It will bring about those things which is more easier. So those things that taste tastier, I mean those things is more simple, more easier to be fulfilled. So mashaka, again, the Sheikh mentioned that are those things which is it is difficult that will bring about tastier due to its difficulty. So this is the Sheikh mentioned. This is the wording of the this qaida. And after the translation, then it will go more into detail, and also it will mention the evidence for this.
وهذه القاعدة قد اتفق عليها علماء الإسلام لأنها قاعدة عظيمة تبين رحمة الشرع بالمكلفين. وأدلة هذه القاعدة من الكتاب والسنة كثيرة، كقوله تعالى: يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. الله سبحانه وتعالى فيما شرع وفيما نهى أراد لعباده ما يكون يسيرا عليهم، ما يكون سهلا لهم، لم يرد ما فيه عسرهم أو مشقتهم. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. إذا أمر الله تعالى بأمر يأمر به الناس فإنه يأمرهم ما هو ضمن استطاعتهم وما هو ضمن قدرتهم. وهذا لا شك ولا ريب من أسباب اليسر، لأنه لو أمرهم فوق قدرتهم لكان ذلك من أسباب العسر والمشقة.
Then Sheikh mentioned concerning of this qaida, and explained this qaida. What is meant by this is that regarding this particular qaida, this principle, that difficulty brings about ease, that this qaida, the ulama of Islam, that they all are all in agreement regarding this qaida. So all of the ulama are in agreement regarding this qaida, and this of the qaida is of is a great of the principles, a great principle, and that is in this qaida. It shows concerning the ease and the mercy of Islam. It shows the ease and the mercy of Islam, and there's many evidence that can be used to prove of this qaida. And of these evidence that can be mentioned, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, the English mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not wish for you those things which is difficult, But what he wishes for you, we don't read. What's the Dalman doesn't mean wish for you those things difficult, but he wishes for you those things which is easy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when he legislating for his servants concerning things to be carried out, that he wants things which is easy for them, not wishing difficulty upon them. So this is of the mercy that comes with Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he requires for his servant those things which is not difficult, but those things which is somewhat of ease. And also the Shaykh mentioned, that Allah mentioned, لَا يَكَلَفَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not place a burden upon a servant more than they can bear. Or to that meaning, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't be, put a burden upon a servant more than he can bear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he commands, that he takes into account that which is that which is within the ability of the servant. So when things are legislated in Islam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes into bear into account those things which are within the capability and the limits of the insan. So if one, so in keeping in line with what is within the person's capability, then this is of the ease that is shown. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not place upon the person those things which is above him. So this shows the ease of this, or it shows so this is of the evidence concerning this principle.
وأيضا من الأدلة على هذه القاعدة قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أمرتكم بأمر فأتوا منه ما استطعتم. الأوامر المطلوبة من العباد قد يستطيعها البعض ولا يستطيعها البعض الآخر. هل المريض كالصحيح وسليم البدن في وجوب الإتيان إلى المسجد؟ هل يستويان مثلا؟ لا يستويان. هل الغني والفقير في الأمر بوجوب الحج سواء؟ أيضا ليس سواء. إذن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام عندما قال إذا أمرتكم بأمر فأتوا منه ما استطعتم، هذا متعلق بالقدرة على أداء الواجب المأمور به. لا يجوز لأحد من الناس صحيح البدن قوي الجسم أن يقول والله الآن يوجد حر وأنا لا أريد أن أذهب إلى المسجد، أو أنا عندي شغل ولا أريد أن أذهب إلى المسجد. هذا ضمن الاستطاعة، لكنه هو يضعف عن تطبيق الاستطاعة. وحكم الاستطاعة إنما يؤخذ بحسب عموم الناس. أما أنت تقول يوجد حرارة، يوجد عندي شغل، أنا لا أريد أن أذهب إلى المسجد، لا أستطيع، لماذا لا تستطيع وغيرك يستطيع؟ إذن حكم الاستطاعة حكم عام يترتب عليه القدرة البشرية الإنسانية التي يستطيع من خلالها المسلم أن يؤدي الواجبات التي أمره الله تعالى بها.
Then Shaykh mentioned concerning also amongst the evidence that can be used to prove of this qaida, this principle, is also from the hadith of the Prophet Alayhi Salaam, where the Prophet Alayhi Salaam mentioned the hadith where it says that if I, Alayhi Salaam, have command you to carry out an act, to carry out an act, fulfill an act, then do from this according to your ability, carry out of this act according to your ability. So Shaykh mentioned that that you might find in the thing that we are asked to fulfill, that you might find that some people are able to do it and some may not. But it goes back to one's ability. And this, for example, concerning a person who may be ill, one who may be ill, is not to be compared to a person who's not ill, who's healthy, of sound and good health. Also concerning, so both are not equal, are both equal, the one who is ill and the person who is healthy, both are not equal. Likewise, same as the person who is wealthy and the person who is poor, are both of them equal concerning them going carrying out concerning Hajj. So both are not the same. The person who is wealthy is not like the person who is poor in fulfilling of this act. So in the hadith of the Prophet Alayhi Wasallam mentioned that whatever I have asked of you to fulfill, then you should carry out it according to your ability. The Shaykh mentioned so this goes back, that it goes back to a person's ability and a person's capability. So the person, is asked to carry out those things according to his ability from a thing that we have been commanded to carry to fulfill. So it is not a, it is not permitted, it is not permissible for a person who, for example, who is of sound health and strong body, that this person said he has this condition, he has a good health, good sound body, that I'm not going to go to the masjid to pray. Right? He said this person who says because, you know, and then the person said I'm not going to do this because of my job and because I'm busy with this work. He said this is not permissible. So the person, this is concerning going to the masjid, is within his capability. He's of the person, this is within his istita'ah, within his capability. So istita'ah also, Shaykh mentioned there, those things within one capability, within capability, that this goes back to the general people. It goes back to the general people, the general mass. So you want us to look to the general mass to see those things which is within the capability of the general mass. So the person might say, I won't go out to the masjid, but it is within the thing that one can do. So this is not permissible for a person to say that because it is within the thing, within those things which is permissible for any most people to carry it out. So istita'ah, it goes back, it is a ruling that it has to be within those things that are within the capability of most of the people. So it's not limited to an individual. So also if it goes back, it is built upon, it is referred back to the condition of the general people, not per se the individual. So the person that he carries out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based upon one's capability.
وأيضا من الأدلة على هذه القاعدة حديث أخرى، ونحن أكثرنا الأدلة على هذه القاعدة لأن فيها بيانا لصفة الدين وأحكام رب العالمين والهدى المنقول عن سيد المرسلين عليه الصلاة والسلام، ففهم هذه القاعدة يعيننا على فهم الخطاب الرباني والخطاب النبوي الذي أمرنا الله تعالى به في كتابه وأمرنا به رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول إن أحب الدين إلى الله الحنيفية السمحة. الحنيفية نسبة إلى إبراهيم عليه السلام، ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما. والسمحة أي السهلة في العمل، السهلة في العمل، فهي حنيفية مبنية على التوحيد، وسهل وسمحة مبنية على العمل اليسير الذي ليس فيه مشقة.
Shaykh mentioned concerning of the evidence that can be used to prove this point, of the evidence that can use that can be used to regarding this particular qaida that we're discussing, and Shaykh that have somewhat have mentioned several evidence around this particular evidence. Because it's like a description of the religion, it's something of the description of the religion, and also this is what I've been transmitted to us about the on the Prophet Islam regarding concerning and that we can use if we understand this principle to assist us in understanding Islam. So we can use this qaida to understand concerning the address that have come to us by way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by way of his messenger. Then Shaykh said, the evidence that can be used is the hadith of the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we mentioned that this religion Islam, that is a deen hanafiyya, and one which is easy, samha, one which is easy. So concerning this, the Shaykh mentioned concerning what is meant by hanafiyya. Hanafiyya, it goes back to
hanafiyya.
So it said, ask what is meant by this, concerning it goes, refers back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. It goes back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And as Allah mentioned concerning the description of Ibrahim, that Ma'akan Ibrahim, that Ibrahim alayhi salam was not Yahud, was not from the Jew nor from the Christian, but he was upon the way of Hanafiyya. So this concerning referring back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And also concerning Samha, meaning that it is something which is easy, simple, not carrying difficulty with it. So this is what is meant by this hadith.
وأيضا صح عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه قال إن خير دينكم أيسره. والدين المقصود به هنا التدين، يعني إن أفضل ما يتدين به الإنسان يعبد ربه أيسر الأشياء، بمعنى أن لا يحمل العبد نفسه ما لا تطيق. أحد الصحابة كان يصوم كل يوم حتى ندم، الذي يقوم الليل كل ليلة قد لا يستطيع. لذلك الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول: أحب الأعمال إلى الله أدومها وإن قل، أدومها وإن قل. إن خير دينكم أيسره، أي أكثره سهولة ويسرا عليكم، لأنه أكثر إقبالا للنفس على الطاعة، ولأنه أعظم مداومة لهذه الطاعة من أولئك الذين قد يشتدون ويضاعفون العبادات ثم إذا بهم ينقطعون عنها. هذا كله داخل تحت إطار قاعدة المشقة تجلب التيسير.
Then also the Sheikh, he mentioned concerning of the evidence, concerning this particular principle of evidence regarding this principle, this qaida, is also the hadith of the Prophet that has been authentic on the Prophet, the Prophet Islam. We mentioned that deen, take of this deen what is the easiest, to apply of this deen that which is the more easiest. And this is the shura concerning that a person that one should take of this deen those things which is more, we said more easier, more simpler to the person to apply. So the person, he tries to not to take those things upon himself that may be simpler. So the thing that may be more afdal, more preferred, is that the person, he tries to stay and to hold, to fulfill those things that are more simple and within his capability. And also you might find that one of the companions that has said that he wished to fast every day. So this fast of every day was something that he was unable to continue with. And also you might find a companion that is mentioned concerning that somewhat are difficulties with a person fasting all the night, praying throughout the night. So this have a degree of difficulty. So the Prophet also concerning that taking those things which is more easier, which is mentioned by saying that the thing that is most beloved, that which is most beloved for us from our action, is those things that are in small quantities but continuous. Those things that are in small portion but continuous, or the meaning of the hadith. So the Shaykh mentioned that those things that the person can do which is more continuous, but within those things which is within his capability and more simpler for him, then this is more beloved and more with a person should be more consistent upon those things. Rather than a person, he takes on those things which is difficult, makes difficulty upon himself, where he takes on things that is somewhat overbearing upon himself. So this principle of the person carrying out those things which is more simpler and within his capability, within his reach, rather than taking on things with difficulty, this is within this qaida of that we are discussing.
نخلص إلى أصلين نلخص بهما هذه القاعدة. كل ما كان خارج الاستطاعة فهو مشقة، والعبد أصلا غير مأمور بها، لأن الله لا يكلف نفسا إلا وسعها. كل ما كان خارج الاستطاعة فهو مشقة، والعبد غير مأمور به أصلا. هذه القاعدة الأولى. القاعدة الثانية: ما كان العبد مأمورا به لكنه غير قادر عليه فلا يكون مطلوبا منه. أضرب على ذلك مثلا الصلاة في الجماعة في المسجد، هل مطلوبة من المريض؟
لا،
هي مطلوبة أصلا لكن المريض غير قادر عليها، وبالتالي فهي غير مطلوبة منه. نعم.
I have a Sheikh concerning that he summarized concerning two main principles concerning this particular qaida, two main principles. My voice now is going, somebody already? Hey, you want to say this part in English, my voice?
Sheikh Hafizahullah, he said here, كل ما كان خارج الاستطاعة فهو مشقة والعبد غير مأمور به أصلا. Everything beyond your ability, everything which is beyond your ability that bring difficulty to you, and the slave It's not recommended to him to act upon those things which is masakar to him.
That's the first.
And the other one, ما كان غير مأمور به وقادر عليه.
ما كان مأمورا به لكنه غير قادر عليه.
غير قادر عليه.
نعم.
Okay. ما كان مأمورا به وهو غير قادر عليه. And Sheikh حفظه الله give example. For example, someone who is ill, someone who not well, he recommended to pray, but because he's ill, he cannot pray. So then he
in the masjid.
So if someone is ill, he's supposed to pray because pray recommended to him, but because he's ill, he cannot go to the mosque to attend the prayer. But he can pray while he's in his bed. But going to the mosque is not obligatory to him to do that, to do so, because he's not well. Okay? Yeah, come on.
نعيد.
أي سعيد.
نعيد.
نعيد. Do you want to?
كل واضحة.
Is it? Is it clear?
نعيد.
أي. إذا أي القاعدة ما كان الأب مأمور به. That's the قاعدة Sheikh mentioned the second project. That thing that is the servant is required to fulfill, but it is not capable. He doesn't have the capability to carry it out. He does not have the capability of carrying out, then it is not obliged for him to carry it out. And then he gave the example of Salat per se in the masjid, something that is expected to be carried out, but the person, example, if the person is ill in this case, then it is not expected for him to go to the masjid to pray.
وأذكر في هذه القاعدة الفقهية حديثا قد يساء فهمه ولا يعرف فقهه على وجه الصواب، وهو حديث عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها، وهو في الصحيحين البخاري ومسلم. قالت: ما خير رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بين أمرين إلا اختار أيسرهما. وهنالك زيادة كثير من الناس لا يذكروها في هذا الحديث. قالت: ما خير رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بين أمرين إلا اختار أيسرهما ما لم يكن إثما. إذن لا يجوز أن نفاضل بين الإثم وغير الإثم ابتداء لنتخير، لأن المجال في الإثم ليس مجال تخيير، وإنما هو مجال ترك ابتداء. لكن عندنا شيئان مشروعان، أحدهما قد يكون فيه مشقة والآخر ليس فيه مشقة، وكلا الأمرين مشروع. أضرب على ذلك مثلا وبالمثال يتضح الاستدلال. رجل مريض لكن مرضه لا يمنعه من الصوم، لكن إذا صام قد يتأخر شفاؤه وقد يزداد إثمه مرضه. إذا استدللنا بهذا الحديث، الأفضل له أن يصوم أم يفطر؟ أن يفطر. لماذا؟ لأنه أصلا مريض وقدرته على الصوم لم تمنعه من التأثير على المرض، وبالتالي الفطر أفضل. لو كان هذا الرجل مريضا، يعني الذي يكسر أصبعه يسمى مريضا، أليس كذلك؟ هل هذا المريض ذو الأصبع المكسور يمنعه كسر أصبعه من أن يصوم؟
لا
يمنعه. إذا ماذا نقول؟ الأفضل له أن يصوم أم أن يفطر؟ أن يصوم. إذا عندنا حديث واحد، لكن الفهم الصحيح المتعلق به مرتبط بكل إنسان بحسب حالته وبحسب تقواه وبحسب اتباعه الأمثل للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. وهذا معنى قوله تبارك وتعالى: بل الإنسان على نفسه بصيرة ولو ألقى معاذيره. نعم.
You want to come take the chair?
Sheikh Hafizahullah, he mentioned from this Qaida, he said, Hafizahullah, there is two hadith, two things in this Qaida. The hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, the Prophet he said, she radiallahu anha said, ما خير رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بين أمرين إلا اختار أيسرهما ما لم يكن إثما. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah never gave him a choice to choose between two things unless he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam choose the easiest one, as long there is no sin regarding that one.
And the hadith is taken as the hadith that is narrated by Aisha, that's in Sahih Bukhari, Muslim, regardless, he mentioned that this prince, this thing that we should look at. The hadith mentioned that the Prophet Islam have not been given a choice between two things except he choose the easiest. And then he says that there's a certain ziyadah in the hadith. There's like an additional information that is mentioned that sometimes it is not mentioned by many. That is in the hadith we mentioned. Along of those things is not something which is of sinful, something which is sinful. So the additional of the hadith, something additional information that if this thing is not something which is sinful, so there is no choice. There's no choice regarding a matter which is sinful. So the person doesn't make a choice regarding those things that is sinful. So the choice is only regarding those things which is within the permissible realms. And the Sheikh mentioned, for example, the example that he mentioned is concerning, for one, regarding this principle, that you might find, for example, a man that is ill somewhat, he has an illness, where this person, his illness somewhat affects concerning his fasting, kind of affect his soul, and his illness, if he was to fast, this person due to his illness, that he needs to fast, but if he was to fast, then it will delay concerning his illness, and his recovery, it will delay concerning his recovery. So this person, what is more preferred? Should this person, and he finds some difficulty, so should the person in this case, with his illness, should he fast or should he not fast? Right, but if the person was to fast with his illness, then it will delay his recovery, and it will affect his recovery, and may somewhat increase his illness. So should such a person in this case, should he fast or should he not fast? Nam. So it was said that the person in this case, what is more preferred is that he should not fast. He should not fast. A second case that Sheikh mentioned that concerning this, what is mentioned, a person also is ill, a second person is ill, but his illness is that he have lost a piece of his finger, a broken finger. So this person concerning him fasting, does this broken finger, does it stop him from fasting? But it's an illness that the person possesses, but does this illness, does it completely permit, stop the person from fasting? In this case, should he fast or not fast? In this case, we say the person should fast. Now, but the person, so this is one single hadith that is being used. It's one single hadith that is being used regarding these two cases, right? So the Shaykh regarding this, that each situation is based upon the person's condition. Each case must be looked upon, and the ruling would be attached based upon each individual circumstances. Right, and also Allah mentioned that in the insan, that indeed each person, that kulla insan ala nafsi, that each person upon himself, he should be like is look needs to look at his look to study his own case. Each person needs to look into his own. Each person should be like the person to how to put it in English? To measure his own case.
قد يسأل سائل أو يقول قائل ألم يقل النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام حفت النار بالشهوات وحفت الجنة بالمكاره؟ فهذه المكاره أليست مشقة؟ نقول لا، هذه المكاره ليست مشقة، لأنها خفيفة على البدن، لكن النفوس تكرهها،
النفوس تكرهها لأن النفوس تحب الحياة التي لا ضوابط فيها، كما نرى الآن في الطرقات والشوارع من السكر والفجور والفساد والخمر والمخدرات والسرقة والنساء وإلى غير ذلك. النفوس تحب هذا الانفتاح، لكن النفوس المؤمنة التي ارتبطت بأمر الله وعرفت ما عند الله لا ترتضي هذا الشيء، وتجاهد نفسها لمضادته، مع أن الشيطان يزينها والشيطان يجعلك تكرهها، لكن كما قال الله إن كيد الشيطان كان ضعيفا. فليحمد الله عز وجل كل من هدي إلى الإسلام، كل من هدي إلى الالتزام، وليسأل ربه الثبات على هذا الدين وحسن الختام، إنه سبحانه مجيب كريم.
أيضا شيك من شكنسوني that a person may ask, that someone may ask, a person may ask concerning this, that mentioned in the Prophet Islam says that that Jannah, that it is surrounded, by those things that are disliked, and that the Nar, the Hellfire, it is surrounded by those things that are liked, those things that are enticing, and those things that are liked. And Shaykh Bhattad answered this, so are these things that are that a person might find that that Jannah might be surrounded, which are not liked, it is something which is difficult. Are these things that are difficult? They say that these things are not per se difficult upon the body, upon the person's body, but the thing that is difficult is that the difficulty upon the nafus, upon the person's might say desire, and the person's nafus, meaning like the person's desire. So this is the thing that the difficulty is on that side. And the Shaykh mentions you might find regarding the person's desire that if we were to look in the streets as we see outside, that these things that are enticing, that the soul might somewhat find likely, might gravitate towards. We find that, you know, you find the evils, the stealing, the robbery, and all these things, the woman, and all the evil that is outside in the street, that the person might find these things somewhat enticing for some. But these are the evil that are there. But the nufus might somewhat gravitate towards these things. But the soul, the Muslim desire, is one that is somewhat, the person, he likes those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mentioned, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to the person, he needs to, and to the Muslim soul, is somewhat, I don't know, a dislike towards those things are there, not in line with Islam. So the Muslim soul, the Muslim desire, have to try to push oneself away from those things. But the shaitan is the one who entice the person with these things. The shaitan is the one who try to entice the person with these things. And Allah mentioned that, indeed, the deception of the shaitan, it is something which is weak. The deception and the plot of the shaitan, it is something which is weak. So the Muslim is supposed to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Also the person, the Muslim should try to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him firm upon this path, regarding that his nufus is more in line with those things that Islam legislates.
أيضا قد يرد سؤال، وهو أليس في النهوض من النوم عند الفجر مشقة؟ أليس في الصيام في اليوم الحار مشقة؟ أليس في السفر من أقصى أوروبا إلى وسط الشرق الأوسط للحج مشقة؟ نقول هذه كلها مشقة يسيرة، ليست مشقة تمنع من الفعل، إنما المشقة التي ينفيها الشرع هي المشقة التي تمنع من الفعل، بدليل أنه في كل سنة ولله الحمد يأتي من أقاصي الدنيا مئات الألوف بل الملايين من أوروبا وآسيا وأمريكا الشمالية والجنوبية إلى الحج. هل هذه مشقة مانعة؟ ليست مشقة مانعة. كذلك القيام إلى صلاة الفجر، كل يوم مئات الملايين بل المليارات من المسلمين في كل أنحاء العالم يستيقظون في صلاة الفجر ولا ينام عنها إلا أهل الكسل وأهل الفسق أو الكفار الذين هم أصلا لا يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر. نعم قد يضعف ويكسل بعض المسلمين، لكن هذا ليس حجة على المسلمين، وليس كسله دليلا أن في العمل مشقة مانعة. لذلك رب العالمين أمر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام والرسول كل أوامره إنما هي بالوحي، أن يأمر المؤذن أن يقول في صلاة الفجر في ندائه ماذا؟ الصلاة خير من النوم. لماذا؟ تنبيها على هذه المشقة اليسيرة التي فيها جهاد للنفس وفيها مصابرة وليس فيها مشقة مانعة من أداء العمل. والله تعالى يقول والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا. نعم.
Sheikh Hafizahullah, he said one might ask that getting up in the early time of the day, like Fajr time, to go and establish Fajr prayer, there is some difficulty in that. So one might ask and say, going to Hajj, there is some difficulty in doing that. And some might ask similar questions regarding this. And Sheikh Hafizahullah, he said, yes, there is a massacre in doing this. But this massacre, this difficulty, does not stop the person from carrying this duty. So there is some difficulty in going to pray, but this difficulty is not something can stop you from carrying this job. So then this is not approval for someone to use the issue of massacre regarding this and say, okay, there is a massacre in this, then I won't be able to do it, I'm not going to do it. Sheikh said this is not proof for the Muslims to say that, because Muslims all over the world, they pray in Fajr and they go into Hajj and they're doing other things. There is a massacre, but this massacre in it cannot stop them from doing it. So this is what I put down here. So that is why, and Sheikh Hafizahullah, he add in the Azan of Fajr, the reason why the Muazzin call in the Fajr and say, As-salatu khayrun min al-nawm. As-salatu khayrun min al-nawm, to draw the attention of the people that there is a massacre in getting up this time of the night to go and perform prayer, but this massacre does not stop them or make them stay at home not to go and pray. That is why they add this, say, As-salatu khayrun min al-nawm in Azan of Fajr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, those who strive, struggle enough in our way, we going to guide them. So.
أما أنواع التيسير فمتعددة، أنواع التيسير متعددة بحسب المشاق وتنوعها، وكلها من باب التخفيف، التيسير والتخفيف. الله عز وجل ذكر في كتابه أنه يخفف على الأمة ليخفف الله عنكم. فأول أنواع التخفيف تخفيف النقص، يعني يخفف الله عنا بنقص في العبادة. مثل ماذا؟ مثل قصر للمسافر، هذا تخفيف نقص.
واحدة. I think the sheikh just mentioned concerning also concerning on one the different types or categories of tafsir, and that they fall into different category according to degree of according to degree of difficulty that's attached. But from the but and all of this though is from the bab, from the door, or from the bab of tafsir. And for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, no, he has made things easy upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made things light and easy upon us. And so making things light upon us, that they fall into different may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made things light upon us. It mentioned, for example, concerning where things have been lightened concerning what was the last thing? Hey, concern.
أنواع التخفيف متعددة، منها التخفيف بالنقص، يخفف الله على العباد بنقص العبادة، كمثل القصر المسافر.
أي ذا جمعنا some of these تخفيف sometimes is based on some of these things of things of making things simpler and easy. Is that you might find for it a text. For example, other texts we concern a person who's a musafir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have somewhat made things easier and lessen things for the person who's a musafir, whereas, for example, the person who's a traveler, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it lessen the amount of salat that he is required to fulfill.
ومنها تخفيف الإبدال أن يخفف الله عن الأمة أو عن بعض الأمة بسبب شيء من المشقة بأن يبدل عملا بعمل، مثل إيش؟ مثل التيمم. التيمم الذي لا يستطيع بسبب المرض أو خشية الهلاك أو الضرر، لا يستطيع الوضوء أو لا يستطيع الغسل، أبدله الله بماذا؟ بالتيمم. والتيمم ضربة واحدة للوجه والكفين. بعض الناس يتيمم هكذا كل بدنه، هذا خطأ، إنما التيمم ضربة واحدة للوجه والكفين. إذن أبدل الله الأمة بسبب ما قد يحصل من ضرر أو من مشقة أو من هلاك على المريض، أبدلهم بالتيمم بدلا من الوضوء والغسل. والحديث في ذلك حديث عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص في السنن رضي الله عنه، أن أحد الصحابة أصابته جنابة وكان مجروحا في رأسه، فعندما أصبح أمره الصحابة الآخرون، ولم يكن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام موجودا، أمروه أن يغتسل، فاغتسل ففسد الجرح فمات، مات الرجل. فأخبر بعض الصحابة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، قالوا يا رسول الله إن فلانا كان فيه جراحة فأجنب، فقلنا له اغتسل، فاغتسل فمات. فماذا قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام؟ قتلوه قتلهم الله. أما لو علموا، أما لو سألوا لعلموا. إنما شفاء العي أي الجهل السؤال، إنما شفاء العي أي الجهل السؤال يكفيه أن يتيمم، أو كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. إذن هذا النوع الآخر نوع من التخفيف بالإبدال، أن يستبدل شيئا بشيء آخر.
Then Sheikh Hafiz Allah, he mentioned concerning of another kind or type or category of takhfif, of making things more simpler and lightening, lessening of certain things, which is ibdal. Ibdal means that something is being replaced by something, or something is being replaced with something. For example, this is meaning ibdal, that an act is being replaced by another. And the Sheikh's example, what is meant by this, the example is concerning tayammum, that tayammum it replaced wudu. So some act is being replaced by another act, which is wudu, being replaced by tayammum. And so the person who does not, the person due to illness or great difficulty, that he may not be able to perform wudu. So instead, it will be replaced by his inability to perform wudu, to perform tayammum. And the Shaykh mentioned that after the description, the Shaykh pointed the description of tayammum, is that a person, he would put his hand in the dirt, and then he would just wipe with one tap on the dirt, on the ground, wipe his face and his hands up to the wrist, just once. Unlike what is done by some, where in making tayammum, they wipe the entire body. So that's the improper way, incorrect way of making tayammum, The correct way is one strike to the earth and a person wipe with this strike, one strike, both his hands up to the risk and their face. So the shaykh mentioned that this is another form of tafis that is done regarding this. And the shaykh mentioned this, the hadith, or to prove of this point also, is a hadith of that is mentioned in Prophet Islam, or it is mentioned where that the companion, they were in a like a journey, and one of them, he became ill, he had an injury, where he became, he had an injury, so he was ill, and also during the night he became junub. He was in a state where he was required to perform ghusl. So in the morning, he, due to his condition, his illness, and also he to perform ghusl, he asked, he questioned regarding, due to his illness, is he allowed to perform, should he go about doing ghusl? So he was told that yes, he should go about performing ghusl, even though he had this illness. So when he did, he died. He died due to this. So it was referred back to the Prophet Islam, which was mentioned to the Prophet Ali Islam, that this person, he was ill, and he performed ghusl, and it caused his death. So the Prophet Islam said that you have killed him. The Prophet Islam said that you have killed him, and may you also be killed. Then he mentioned, the Prophet mentioned that it is sufficient, the Prophet mentioned that that the cure for ignorance, the cure for ignorance is to ask. So the cure of ignorance, if you do not know, is to ask, to get clarity. And it was sufficient for him just to make tayammum. It was sufficient for him to perform tayammum in his circumstances. So this is the general meaning of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ regarding this matter. So it shows that another form of takhfif is making things simpler, is by way of ibdal, which is something replaces another.
ومن الأنواع ومن الأنواع التخفيف بالتغيير، أن تغير صفة عبادة إلى صفة أخرى تخفيفا للمشقة. المثال على ذلك صلاة الخوف. الصلوات المعتادة إما ركعتان أو ثلاث أو أربع، صلاة الخوف بالنسبة للمسلمين ركعة واحدة، الظهر والعصر والمغرب والعشاء والفجر كله ركعة واحدة، الإمام يصلي ركعتين، فنصف المسلمين يصلون معه والنصف الآخر يجلسون يحرسون، ثم الركعة الثانية أولئك يسلمون وهؤلاء يلحقونهم. هذا نوع تغيير. ونوع آخر من التغيير أنه لا يوجد في لحظة من اللحظات مجال حتى لهذه الصلاة، بحيث لا يستطيع المسلمون أن يصلوا جماعة. قال العلماء هذه تسمى صلاة المسايفة. إيش يعني المسايفة؟ يعني التقاء السيف بالسيف، التقاء السيف بالسيف. صلاة المسايفة فقط يكون فيها تحريك للرأس والتكبير، الله أكبر مع حركة الرأس. هذه تغيير من صفة إلى صفة، من صفة إلى صفة. نعم.
The Sheikh mentioned concerning another. Yeah, we want to do this one. Do this one.
Sheikh Hafizahullah, he mentioned another category of this qawaid, and then he Hafizahullah, he said at-takhfifu bit-taghyir. You make things less in terms of changing them. For example, salawatul khams, the five daily prayers. In a situation of salatul khawf, so pray in the time of battle, jihad, then or khawf, the prayer is gonna be one raka, so one unit. Those people who are guarding the others who are praying, they pray one raka and they finish, and other people come and pray another raka with the imam. So then, in this situation, so takfif bitaghyir, lessen things in terms of changing them at the same time. So, and another kind of this kind, which is Salatul Musayafa. So, Salatul Musayafa, as Sheikh described, just you do this and do Allahu Akbar. That's it. So, and he, Hafizahullah, said, he has his taghyirun min sifatin ila sifat. This is a change from one character to another character. Yeah, because you cannot pray in jama'ah. You cannot pray in congregation.
أيضا هنالك من أنواع التخفيف التخفيف بالإسقاط أي إسقاط الفعل سواء كان هذا الإسقاط إسقاطا كليا أم إسقاطا جزئيا مثل الإسقاط الكلي إسقاط الحج على غير المستطيع لأن الله عز وجل قال ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا كمثل إسقاط الجمعة عن النساء هذا إسقاط بالكلية الإسقاط الجزئي هو الإسقاط المترتب على تجزئة القدرة الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول صل قائما فإن لم تستطع فقاعدا فإن لم تستطع فعلى جنب مع أن القيام ركن لكنه أسقط الركنية بسبب عدم القدرة هل أسقط الصلاة كلها؟ لا إنما أسقط غير المقدور عليه وهو القيام إذن الإسقاط التخفيف بالإسقاط إما أن يكون بالإسقاط الكلي كإسقاط الحج عن غير القادر وإسقاط الجمعة عن المرأة أو إسقاط جزئي وهو إسقاط القيام عن العاجز عنه في الصلاة مثلا والله أعلم
Sheikh Hafizahullah, he said in this qaida also something which is called At-Takfifu Bil-Isqat. You lessen things or you drop some of it. He Hafizahullah, he said Isqat either he Isqatul Kulli or Isqatul Jus'i to drop it as a whole or drop some of it. So he Hafizahullah gives example for example وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ إِسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا So Allah made a convent compulsory to people to perform Hajj if they can afford to do so but someone who cannot afford to do that he's not going to go to Hajj then this person he's going to drop it at all because he cannot afford to do that so and then he also Hafizahullah said إسقاط النساء بالجمعة so for example it's not obligatory for the woman for compulsory to them to go to Juma so or attend every congregation it's not compulsory for them so all the hadith is that if they pray in their house it's better but sometimes they might go so but if they don't go so pray in their house nothing wrong with that so also إسقاط الجزعي So drop some of the part of something you are doing. For example, iskatul ajiz. For example, someone who cannot pray standing up. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Salli qa'iman fa in lam tastati fajalisan." Pray while you're standing up. If you cannot do that, then you pray while you're sitting down. So then iskatul juz'i here alal ajiz, someone who unable to pray standing up. Then, so Isqatul Juz'i comes to him because he can pray and sit down.
ونوع آخر وهو التخفيف بالترخيص أي الرخصة بالحرام أن يصير حلالا للتخفيف على الأمر لكن هذا الحرام الذي يصير حلالا في أقصى حالات الضرورة مثلا إنسان خشي الموت وليس أمامه إلا الميتة هل يجوز أن يأكل الميتة التي أصلها حرام أكلها؟ الأصل في الميتة أنها حرام أن تؤكل، لكن لأنه إذا لم يأكلها يهلك، فرخص الشرع تخفيفا عليه بأكلها أو بالأكل منها بما تقوم به الحياة. لذلك رب العالمين قال: فمن اضطر غير باغ ولا عاد فلا إثم عليه. فمن اضطر أي في أشد أنواع الضرورة، غير باغ أي دون بغي، ولا عاد أي تعد واعتداء، وهذا الإنسان فيه حسيب نفسه. لا يجوز أن يستهزئ الإنسان بنفسه ويظن أنه يعني يتجاوز علم ربه بأن يقول: والله أنا مضطر فأشرب الخمر، وهو ليس مضطرا. هذا لا يجوز. إذن كما قلنا من قبل نقول الآن: بل الإنسان على نفسه بصيرة ولو ألقى معاذيره. لو أن إنسان في السفر أيضا ليس عنده ماء، والسفر ممكن أن يمتد 5 ساعات، وأصابه العطش الشديد وليس معه إلا خمر، أو وجد في طريق أو عند أحد الكفار من أراد أن يعطيه خمرا، إما أن يصبر ويستطيع ويعلم من نفسه الصبر وبقي 5 ساعات مثلا للطريق، أو أن لا يصبر بحيث إذا لم يشرب قد يهلك. من الذي يقدر هذه الصورة؟ بل الإنسان على نفسه بصيرة ولو ألقى معاذيره. ومن هنا جاء النص القرآني: فمن اضطر غير باغ ولا عاد فلا إثم عليه. نعم.
Sheikh Hafizahullah mentioned another kind of this qaida, which is at-takfifu bit-tarkhis, an yakuna at-takfifu ala al-amr. Sheikh Hafizahullah, he said, in this kind, lessen things in terms of giving the person permission to do certain things due to their circumstances. For example, someone who is traveling, who is maybe in the desert, in a place, in the jungle, in the place, he doesn't have food, no food, no nothing, for example. Maybe there is some animals, it's not eatable, it's haram to eat, but it's allowed for him to kill one of those animals to eat something just can keep him alive. Not because this is eatable, but to save himself, to keep himself alive. This is one example for takfif bit tarkhis. Another example Sheikh Hafizahullah has given, he said, for example, someone who traveling and then they run out of water, they don't have any water, so they need to drink. So what are they going to do? If, for example, there is some people who are not Muslim, or they got something like khamr, which is not drinkable for the Muslims, but in his circumstances, whether he's going to be patient, if, for example, the distance going to take him maybe 2 hours, 3 hours, or 5 hours to reach there, whether he's going to be patient, or he going to use that khamr, drink it to keep himself alive. So this is another example of takhfif bitarkhis. For example, lessen difficulty or make difficulty easy for the person to allow them to do something in their circumstances, in their situation, maybe it's not lawful, but that may help them and keep them alive. So, and then Sheikh Hafizahullah, he said the ayah in the Quran, فَمَنِ اتْتُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاقٍ وَلَا عَادٍ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. As long the person didn't do this in terms of, he do it in terms of there is no other means, there is no other way for him to go to, and then he didn't do it because he wanted to commit sin, He didn't intend to commit any sin. But because his circumstances led him to do this, to use these permissible things, as he explained, as I explained to you. So, and then he caught this ayah. And he said also another ayah, Balil insan ala nafsihi bafira. Someone, an individual, can judge himself. When they reach a situation like this, they can judge themselves, their intention, why they doing this. If, for example, they don't have any intention to other death because just they saving themselves, then if they do this, nothing wrong with that according to their circumstances in their situation. Wallah.
والنقطة الأخيرة التخفيف بالجمع وذلك مثاله الصلوات فالأصل في الصلوات كما قال تعالى إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا لكن جاءنا في السنة المطهرة التخفيف بأن يصبح أن تصبح هذه الأوقات الخمسة في بعض الأحيان ثلاثة وفي بعض الأحيان أربعة كيف إن ممكن أن تكون في بعض الأحيان ثلاثة وفي بعض الأحيان أربعة إذا جمعنا بين الظهر والعصر فقط أصبحت أربعة إذا جمعنا بين الظهر والعصر والمغرب والعشاء أصبحت ثلاثة إذن جمعنا وقتين في وقت واحد من باب التخفيف بالجمع وهذا التخفيف بالجمع إما أن يكون تخفيفا بالتقديم أو تخفيفا بالتأخير هذا بحسب مصلحة الذي يجمع هذه الصلاة فإذا كان الأيسر عليه التأخير فالتأخير أفضل وإذا كان الأيسر عليه التقديم فالتقديم أيسر وأفضل وفي هذا القدر كفاية وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
Sheikh Habibullah, he mentioned also in this قاعدة قاعدة التخفيف بالجمع to lessen things, to make things less, and then you gather them together in terms when you perform the salawat. For example, Sheikh Habibullah gives example in Salawat al-Khamr. When you travel, you make jam'ah. You make jam'ah, taqsir. For example, you pray Dhuhr and Asr together. And pray Maghrib and Isha together. So in these, then you gather them together, become four. So he, Habibullah, gave another example, said you can gather them, they become three. For example, that is the thing I just missed. So he said, if we gather between the Maghrib and the Isha, so as I put here, become three. So I don't know whether exactly that what he said or not, but I missed a little bit of thing. But this is what I caught from what he, Habibullah, said. So he said then, Habibullah, this takfir, bil jam'ah, make life easy for a Muslim person who practice, who traveling, for example, not to put themselves into mashaqqa. So that is why these takfif come to make things less. At the same time, when they perform them together.
And then Sheikh added the end concerning with the person concerning the combining of these salat, either he can delay them or he can bring them forward. So concerning the delaying of the salat, that will be go back to the person and what is the more suitable for him, or whether the person want to bring it forward or delay, depending on each person's circumstances, then they will be the one to make a decision based upon what is more suitable for their circumstance. Then Shaykh said, you know, you come to end regarding this, and then he made the closing dua.
Jazakumullahu khairan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.